God will show himself just in the judgment of all sin, but also gracious in great blessing upon his people.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
I want to paint a couple of very brief pictures of God. And then I want you to tell me which one is the correct, the biblical view of God. Here's the first picture is this, is God is a holy and just God. And because he is holy and just, he must and he will judge all sin. And because God is holy and just and he will judge all sin, we should fear him. That's one picture of God. Here's another picture of God. God is a gracious God. He is a merciful God. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in mercy. He is grace upon grace. And he is the giver of eternal blessing upon blessing. And because God is gracious and merciful, we can stand before him as believers with confidence and with joy. Now, you tell me, of those two pictures that I have just painted of God, which one of those pictures is correct? Which one is the biblical view of God? Both of them, right? Both of them are the biblical view of God. God is indeed a just God. He is holy. He is righteous. He will judge all sin. And because he's holy and just, we ought to fear him with proper biblical reverence. But isn't it wonderful to know, though, too, that our Lord is a gracious God as well. He is merciful. He is patient, slow to anger. He does abound in mercy, grace upon grace. And because of that, we can stand before him as believers with confidence and with joy. We're continuing today in our series in the Minor Prophets. And I might say continuing today. Wait a minute, when were we in this? Believe it or not, way back in March. March 1st was our last message in this series. We started this year doing an overview of the Minor Prophets and just looking at the key theme or a key theme in each book of the Minor Prophets. We were going along with that. We had done seven of them when I was suddenly and graciously and wonderfully interrupted by a trip to Israel. And then following that then we had to celebrate Easter. And then, of course, we just had to have some lessons from the land after that, coming back from Israel. So now here we are then, almost 8 weeks later, though, we are going to go back and finish this series in the Minor Prophets. This will take us through the end of May. But to just kind of get our brains going again, to kind of wind us back up for this, you may recall we looked at the prophet Obadiah, and the message that we learned from him was, beware of pride. Beware of pride. We looked at Joel, where Joel gives us prophecy of the day of the Lord. Zephaniah today has a little bit more to say about that. We're going to consider that day of the Lord again in just a moment. Jonah, what was the message from Jonah? He ran from God, but he couldn't hide from God, couldn't he? But the message we learned there is that God is gracious and merciful, sometimes even when we don't want to be. Because remember, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Why? Because Nineveh was kind of like the ISIS of his day. Would you want to go and preach to ISIS? Especially, and not because Jonah was afraid, he wasn't. Jonah knew that if he went and preached, the Ninevites would repent, and he didn't want that. He wanted them to be judged. Do you want to see ISIS judged, destroyed? Or do you want to see him repent? Probably a little of both in our hearts there, isn't there? Amos taught us about the importance of relational righteousness. It's one thing to say, you know, that that righteous character, a character that is in conformity with the character of God, increasingly in conformity with the character of God, is going to demonstrate itself in practical works of righteousness, in biblical justice in society. Hosea, an amazing story of amazing love and faithfulness, where God, through the life story of Hosea, telling him to marry an unfaithful woman, demonstrating God's love and faithfulness in spite of our lack of love and lack of faithfulness. Micah, we ask the question, what does God require of you? What does God require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. And the last one then was Nahum. In Nahum we saw that God is a stronghold in trouble, and that he is a just judge as well. And Jonah did preach in Nineveh, and the people repented. But sometime later then, judgment did come to Nineveh. And Nahum is about that judgment that did finally come to Nineveh. Today then, moving on in Zephaniah. And thanks for correcting my typo on Zephaniah back there, Susan, or someone did. That was Renee. Okay, very good. So I'm looking at my notes here. It's like, oops, that's a typo, but it's right up there. So thank you. Zephaniah then today, we want to look at our just and gracious God. Our just and gracious God. And in this, we will see that God shows himself just. God does, and he will show himself just in the judgment of sin, in the judgment of all sin. But also gracious. He is gracious in great blessing upon his people, and even great blessing upon his creation. So Zephaniah, we don't know much about the prophet Zephaniah, but this is a time after the exile. The people had been exiled to Babylon. Now they have returned to the land. And that's a good thing that they're back in the land, but things weren't all well in the land. And the people, once again, needed a message. They needed a message of correction. And Zephaniah then has much to say to us then about the day of the Lord. This is Joel told us about the day of the Lord. Zephaniah continues this theme of the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord is a time of, biblically, it is a time of great judgment. It's a time of darkness, of doom, of gloom, of shattering the earth, God's judgment on sin. But it doesn't end there, though. The day of the Lord is also a time of great blessing. That blessing will follow that shaking, that judgment. That God will judge sin, but God will then pour out blessing. God will judge the sin of his people, and he will judge the sin of the nations. But then God will bring blessing. He will bring blessing upon his people. But then he will also bring blessing upon all the earth. The day of the Lord is judgment and also blessing. Let's turn to the book of Zephaniah chapter 1. I'm going to read some select verses there, 1 through 6 and 14 through 18. Zephaniah saying here, the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal and the name of the idolatrous priests along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to the host of the heavens, those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of Him. The great day of the Lord is near. Near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. This is a dark, dark picture, isn't it? Let me ask you, do you think God is overreacting a little bit to the sin of man? This way, we read that, boy, that man, that sounds really harsh. That God is going to pour out wrath like this. He's going to shake the earth. He's going to wipe out, bring great distress on mankind, and nothing will be able to deliver them. Well, the reality is, God is not overreacting at all. And in fact, the truth is, God is being quite patient. Isn't he? Would he be just in doing this right now, today? Absolutely. Would he have been just in doing it 100 years ago? Absolutely. A little while back, we did a series in the book of Revelation, and this is a powerful, powerful portrait there of the coming judgment, the devastation of the wrath of God, the day of the Lord. We said, boy, is this a little extreme? Is God overreacting here? And then we just imagined, what if somehow we could just put ourselves in the mind of God for a moment to know everything that God knows, to see everything that God sees. When you look inside your heart and your heart of hearts in that flesh, that sin nature from which you've been redeemed, what do you see? What do you see that still produces, is capable of producing in you if we let it? You look at what's going on, not just in the world, to turn on your television set, look what's going on right here in our own communities. Remember, we put a little map up there when we were doing the Revelation series, and we put that up there. We just did a list of the sex offenders within just like a 5-mile radius of our church. Do you remember that? All those red dots all over there, right here within just a few miles of our church. These are the people who've been caught and prosecuted and sentenced and registered. And do you think they did these sins one time and got caught one time? Some of them perhaps, but many of them, who knows? And you just think of, this is one sin. I know it sounds funny to say, I'm not picking on the sex offenders. They probably should be picked on, but you know what I'm saying. Think about all of the sins in the 5 mile radius of this church. Even how about 1 mile? It's constantly that God sees, God knows. And then just start expanding that map out from our community to the Chicago area, to our nation, to this world. What do you think God sees every second of every day? Day after week, after month, after year, after decade, after century, after millennia. Is God overreacting? No. See, God is just. He does and He will judge all sin. But in this passage we read, notice it starts with God is just in judging. Not just the sin of the world out there. God is just in judging the sin of His own people, isn't He? Would God be righteous and just if He did not judge our sin? Now, wait a minute. Somebody said, well, wait, I thought that He absorbed the punishment for our sin. If we're believers in Jesus Christ, has not Jesus absorbed the judgment for our sin? Yes, He has. And for that, what? We give praise and we give thanks. But does that mean, though, that because we have forgiveness in Him, we have life in Him, doesn't mean that we're sinlessly perfect right now, are we? We still sin. And is God just going to overlook that because, well, I'm not going to judge that because after all, you're my child? No, He will judge that. Now, it's not the eternal judgment, but it is a judgment here and now for the purpose of what? Of refining His people. So God judges first the sin of His people. Now, in our context here, Zephaniah, he is speaking of the people of Israel, Judah. What was their sin? Well, many things, but among them, in this idolatry, in this worship of the Baal, they were offering up their own children to sacrifice to pagan gods. You think that angered God's justice, His righteousness, His holiness? Yeah. So God was warned, and God, did He give His people plenty of warning? Hundreds of years. And they persisted. So He's announcing judgment is coming upon them. Boy, again, I read that, and boy, I see a case for biblical fear of God, don't you? Fearing a just and righteous God who starts with the sin of His own people. Judgment of Israel here. But is it only way back then, a whole other people that God judges their sin, or is it His people now, today in the church? Is it the people of Wonder Lake Bible Church? Is it you? Is it me? Yes. Where might you turn to? If you say, well, that's Old Testament. We're living in the New Testament now, Pastor. See, God was all wrath and judgment in the old, sees all love and mercy in the new. How many of you know that is a lie? Right? God is both judgment and mercy in the old and in the new, isn't He? Where would we turn to? How about the book of Hebrews that warns us as His children, as children of God, that warns us, beware what the discipline of God, that if we are children of the Heavenly Father, and if we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are, then it warns us that he will discipline us. For what good earthly parent does not discipline their child? If you are a parent and you love your child, truly love your child, are you going to discipline that child? Absolutely. And if you don't discipline, what does that say about your love for that child? Really calls it into question, doesn't it? So of course God judges sin. He disciplines me, you. Like sometimes that discipline can be rather severe. You don't believe me? Read the book of 1 Corinthians. What's going on in there? There's a church with all kinds of problems, right? Remember we call it the poster child of dysfunctional churches in the New Testament, right? There was things going on there that God was already judging in their midst, and even goes so far as to say that some of them were sick, and some of them even sleep. A euphemism for what? For death. A judgment, a discipline, even to the point of physical death for some. Now you think, no, that was just way back then. That doesn't happen anymore. God's kind of mellowed out since then, right? No, I got news for you. Does God change? No. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Do you think God still judges his people today? Disciplines his people today in the church today even to the point of sickness or even physical death? Absolutely. Now bear in mind, I am not saying that if somebody's sick, it's because of their sin and God is judging them. Or if someone dies an untimely death, it was God's. I'm not saying that. But I am saying God does do those things, doesn't he? You getting a little scared, a little spooked here? We ought to be, if by that, that's a biblical understanding. This is what it means, the fear of the Lord. I think I've told you before, we have so watered down this concept of the fear of the Lord. And we've made it into, well, it's this reverence for God. It's awe, this reverent awe for God. And I would say, well, yes, it is, but I think we're kind of soft-pedaling it a little bit. What it is that fear that ought to make us shudder a little bit when we think of the fact that God is righteous and he will judge all sin, including mine and yours. Now, it's wonderful to know we have eternal hope in Jesus. We have life in his name. But he's a heavenly Father who will discipline here and now. So God is just in judging the sin of his people, but God is also, though, just in judging the sin of the nations. Of the nations. You know, we like to point out, we want to see God's judgment out there on those people. Well, you know what? But it starts right here with us, doesn't it? Starts here, but it doesn't end here. It continues out there. I know some of us are thinking, boy, I don't know. I think people get away with an awful lot out there. I don't see God judging them. I don't see God judging the nation. I don't see God doing it. People seem to get away with an awful lot. What do you think about it? Is that true? Are people getting away with their sin? Do people escape the human justice system? All the time. Is the human justice system perfect? Absolutely not. But is God's judgment system something that can be escaped? No. People may escape, we think, judgment here and now for their sin, but do they? No, they don't. Because God is going to have the last word on every nation and on every individual, isn't he? Nobody is getting away with anything. And by the way, that ought not to be something that makes us cheer. It ought to be something that makes us pray. Pray for people. Because God is just, pray for them. And we know then, too, that in the book of Revelation, we see what? That there will be a final, we call it the Great White Throne Judgment, right? A final accounting for every individual ever. This passage then speaks of a day of the Lord, of God's wrath, His judgment on His people, but also on the nations. It's a picture of an end time judgment. But yet, God's judgment isn't simply all reserved for the end time. God's judgment is ongoing, isn't it? It will culminate in the end times and the day of the Lord. But God's judgment is underway now. Now, if we just stopped right here, well, actually, that would be okay, because fear, proper fear of the Lord is a good thing for us to meditate on. But I do want us to meditate on another truth. Remember we said, which is the biblical picture of God at the beginning? Is it the just and the righteous God who will judge all sin and a God that we ought to fear because of that? Yeah, that's a biblical picture of God. But isn't it good to know, though, there's another picture of God, though, that is also true? The God who is gracious. The God who is merciful. The God who is patient. Let's look at Zephaniah chapter 3. Starting at verse 9, it says, "For at that time," speaking again of this day of the Lord, "for at that time I will change the speech of the peoples to a pure speech, that all of them may call upon the name of the Lord and serve Him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering." I love this passage here. "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, 'Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save.'" He is mighty to save. He was mighty to save. No way, I'm not going to sing the whole song here. "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." You see, God is just and God is gracious. God is gracious too. He will restore blessing upon His people. He will judge their sin, but He will also then restore blessing to them. I love that beautiful poetic language there. Isn't that wonderful? "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Do you know that God sings over you? We come here and we sing to God, but you know, God sings over you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? God is gracious in restoring blessing upon His people. Here, speaking of an end times blessing, the day of the Lord, that God will judge them, but then God will restore them. He will restore them in their land. And I believe that will yet happen. There's a country that suddenly popped into existence in 1948 after 2,000 years called Israel. So God is gracious in restoring blessing upon His people. But God is gracious then too in restoring blessing upon all the world. You see, when Jesus comes again, it's going to usher in a period of great blessing, not just for His people, for the people of Israel, and not just for the church that is caught up to rule and reign with Him, but also a time of blessing on the entire world. The entire world will be blessed through God's people at that time, a time of peace, of prosperity, of joy, and all the land, all the world. But you know, though, that won't be the end of it there, that God is then also going to restore blessing upon his creation as well. At the end, after the final judgment, John tells us in Revelation, what? Behold, I saw a what? A new heaven and earth. A new earth, right? So God is just. He will judge all sin. But God is gracious too. He will restore. He will restore blessing upon his people. He will restore blessing upon all the world, culminating then in a new earth. You think, you know, so what? I know this. I've heard this before. What do you want me to do? Well, again, I want to remind us that God will show himself just in the judgment of all sin, but also gracious and great blessing upon his people. What should I do about that? What do you want me to do with that? Well, I want to do what the prophet Zephaniah told the people to do in chapter 2. There's your homework assignment. Go home and read it. But I'll give you a hint. Here it is right here. You know what he told the people then? And I think this applies then for us today. First thing he told them was what? Repent. Because God is just and will judge even his own people, the sin of his own people. But repent. Turn from your sin. God is patient. How many of you believe that God is patient? But is he endlessly patient? No. Repent. Today is the day, isn't it? Repent. Turn from those things that we know are displeasing to God, sinful things. Next, we're told then, repent. When we repent, we turn away from something and turn toward something else, or in this case, turn toward someone else. What? Seek the Lord. Repent from our sin. Seek the Lord. Turn away from seeking our sin and instead seek the Lord. To know God. God wants you to know him. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. And here's the best part then. What's the next commandment? Rejoice. Rejoice. Repent. Seek the Lord. Rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because God is gracious. Because God is gracious. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are a gracious God. You're a just God who will judge all sin. And the reality of that, Lord, ought to instill a holy fear in us. Lord, we thank you that you're patient. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. God, we turn from those sins that we know are displeasing to you, but that we know, Lord, are so destructive to ourselves and to others. We turn from those, Lord, and we seek you now. We seek your face. Thank you, Lord, that you're a gracious and merciful God. Grace upon grace, like those ocean waves that keep coming into the shore, so is your grace and your mercy and your love to us. Teach us, Lord, to truly know you and walk with you, that you might be well pleased, Lord, in us. And Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice then that you are a just God, a holy God. And we rejoice that you are a gracious God, a merciful God. Thank you, Lord, for our hope in Jesus Christ, who has absorbed the judgment justly due us. May we now then walk in him, walk worthy of the calling we have in him. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.